Good morning and welcome. Hour number two begins. It is 7:06, your time check, brought to you by Hayes Jewelers, where the answer is always yes. It's the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. One of your top stories, Operation Economic Outcast, underway. We're going to economically really try to choke out Iran. Hopefully this will have some detrimental effect. It caused them to make some changes there, like as in the regime. Meanwhile, Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu revealed Monday that Iran attempted to assassinate one of his two sons, publicly disclosing an alleged plot that had reportedly been known to Israel's security establishment and barred from publication for months.
Wow.
So this is in the past a little bit. There's something here that is unbelievable. Iran targeted one of my sons. Iran tried to kill, to murder one of my sons. When the reporter, Noam Amir, asked whether the attempted assassination was based on intel presented to the prime minister, Netanyahu declined to elaborate, instead repeating the extraordinary claim that Iran tried to murder one of my sons. He did not identify whether Iran allegedly targeted Yair or Avner Netanyahu, nor did he disclose when or how the attempted assassination took place. Israeli media reported that information about the alleged Iranian plot that had been subject to military censorship for several months.
Wow.
Channel 12 reported the Israel security establishment had known about the attempt for months, and that it occurred while Yair Netanyahu was outside Israel, though the network did not identify Yair as the son who was targeted. But, that is, and I mean, you can't put it past him. This is a regime that has supported terrorism, murdering, a leader's member of their family. They wouldn't think twice about that.
No.
Now, this guy, Alex Vindman, he's the one that lost in the Democrat primary to Angie Nixon.
Oh, boy.
And mentioned yesterday, I believe, I said, we got to milk these chickens for all they're worth because she won't win. I would be shocked, but she won't win in the general.
Right.
But, man, she is going to be worth her weight in gold in terms of stupid things she says. She's already denying that she's a socialist, even though she's a member of the Democrat Socialist Party.
But isn't that what they do? They do something really stupid and say they didn't do it while you watch them do it?
Well, it's interesting because, yes, it mimics the behavior of somebody that we're quite familiar with. Florida Democratic Senate nominee Angie Nixon's denial that she's a socialist despite her membership should alarm voters as much as her surprise primary victory did. And who said that? Alex Vindman, who fled Fidel Castro's Cuba. Nixon was upset. Trump impeachment witness Alex Vindman in last week's Democratic primary told NBC News on Sunday, she said, I'm not a socialist, despite acknowledging her DSA membership. She said she joined the far-left group because of its platform on public housing, health care, veterans, and removing big money from politics.
Okay.
Quote, and I'm sorry, I said Vindman was the one whose family had escaped Cuba.
Right.
It's not. It's Representative Carlo Jimenez, the Republican out of Florida. But he said she's either a bona fide socialist or she's not very smart. Because she ended up being a member of the Democrat Socialist of America. I don't know what the heck she thought she was joining. Socialist and communist deny what they are until they get into power.
Yep.
And Jimenez, he said he experienced that type of political pivot firsthand after Castro overthrew Fulgencio Batista in 1959. At the time, Castro denied that he was a Marxist and a communist early in the revolution, but publicly acknowledged on December 2nd, 1961, that he embraced Leninism and would do so forever. Yep. Jimenez argued that Nixon's position, along with those of her DSA allies, doesn't sell to the broader electorate. These socialists are actually using democracy to destroy democracy. Jimenez pointing to Venezuela and Nicaragua as examples of movements that initially gained power through elections. And I have used Castro as an example, as a warning, because bad guys, just like I played the game with my kids, you know, I'd go, help me find my puppy, little girl. I have some candy for you. And then I'd go, and I'd scare the kids. Because I wanted to make sure that they knew that just because somebody looks kind or nice or old or whatever, I want my kids to be helpful, but not to strangers. Right. Not at that age. So we played the game. Well, this is not a game I'm playing when I warn people. Bad people don't come out and say, I'm a bad guy. You know? Rapists don't say, later on, I'm going to slip something in your drink and I'm going to rape you.
Right.
They go, hey, how you doing, beautiful? What's going on today? Isn't the weather lovely? You get the picture. Well, it's the same thing. Castro didn't get everybody involved in a revolution, stating that, yeah, someday you're going to have to wait in line for milk.
Right.
This island is going to suck so bad, you would piece together a flimsy raft to travel 90 miles via water, an open water, and at the loss of possibly yourself or family members because you'll be so desperate to leave this place. Mm-hmm. Now, if he said that, I don't know that he would have got a lot of help in the revolution, but he did. It's like, this is a land of milk and honey and the rich, powerful control everything. I want to spread it out. I wanted to give to everyone, you know, fairness and all that. It's the same rhetoric we're hearing today from socialists. It's the promise of wealth redistribution that has never worked in the history of humankind. It's the same thing, but people fall prey to it, you know? And it's tough. You take a step back and you look at it and you go, how can people be so stupid? Well, we've all been sucked in by different things. We've all made different mistakes. But if somebody is telling you every day over and over again, hey, these people that are whispering sweet nothings into your ear, they're dangerous people. They want power. They don't give two rat's butts about you and your family. They don't. That's not how socialists think or operate. They want to get in. They want to get in with you. And how do they get in with you? Man, I'm going to pay off your college loans. Wow, I'm going to give you free daycare. Man, I'm going to build grocery stores where you're going to have, you know, greatly reduced prices and all these things, all these promises that they make. And then if they're even pushed on it, if they can even come up with an answer, well, how are you going to pay for all this? Of course, the super wealthy is who we're going to go after.
Right. The billionaires now, because they became millionaires.
But they've already worked out the math in, you know, about half of Mom Donnie's, you know, promises.
Uh-huh.
And mathematically, they could tax the people out of all of their wealth. And they still couldn't follow through and pay for all the programs that he has promised.
Wow.
But yet people still buy into it.
I don't get it.
It's like, you're an American. You're a fighter. You want to compete in the marketplace. You want competition. You want to be the best. You're going to climb that ladder. You're going to acquire the American dream. You're going to raise your family in a way that you see fit. Okay? But now there's, I guess, a group of Americans are like, man, I don't want to compete, man. It's tough out there. These bosses, they want you to show up to work like on time every day. And and they're like, I can't play on Facebook all day and update my Instagram account. What? I mean, these people are crazy. And all I'm doing is planning my next vacation. And they're like, vacation time? You haven't earned more than a week yet. Oh, well, when does that happen?
Yeah.
And it is a different kind of mindset. Not all young people clearly feel that way. The ones that I really have an issue with, what's the old statement? You know, if you're 20 years old and you're not liberal, you don't have a heart. But if you're not conservative by 40, you don't have a brain.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the same thing. You can be idealistic. You can think, oh, that's a great idea that, you know, about socialism. Look, we can spread things out. Everybody has a better lifestyle. Well, in theory, that's been promised before, but it never works out like that in the real world. It's the educated ones that are a little bit older that I'm really shocked by.
I know.
Because they don't have an excuse to be suckered in and to be stupid.
But a lot of times, don't you see that it's kind of the old hippies, and they kind of had that mentality back in 1967?
Some of them, yeah.
And they're being re-inspired by this, I think, unfortunately.
Yeah, and they're in positions of power. Many of them are professors and teachers and things like that, and they're promoting this idea. But it's interesting because they have to know better. Yeah. They have to.
You would think
but
so.
But yet it's almost like they want to refuse reality. I don't know. It's crazy. 7:17 now on the Bob Rose Show. And coming up next, what's bugging you? Call in and air it out. Get it off your chest. Don't carry that baggage around. All right? 877-975-9825. Call in now for what's bugging you. That's brought to you by Florida Pest Control. The only bugs they can't control are litter bugs. So call in now. Good morning. Welcome. It's the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. It is 6:23. Time for What's Bugging You? A chance for you to call in, air it out, get it off your chest. Brought to you by Florida Pest Control. The only bugs they can control are litter bugs. So we invite you to call in now. 877-975-9825. Good morning, Denny. What's bugging you?
Hey, good morning, people. Well, you know how you're always hearing the federal government talk about we ain't going to have money for Social Security. We're not going to have money for Medicare and all that good stuff. And yet, here's a kid with a cell phone that goes around the country just showing all the fraud. And he's doing such a good job, you already got one state's already put a ban on him. And it kind of lets you know what the federal government's really doing with your money.
Yeah, especially when they call it the Nick Shirley Law.
Yeah,
because they don't want people like him to be busting the government for fraud and waste.
That's amazing.
It is amazing.
That
should be a huge wake up call for people. Huge. Let's go to Slim again. Good morning. What's bugging you?
Hey, thanks for taking my call. What's really bugging the crap out of me today? Emotional support animals. You know, I just convinced my wife to let me get an emotional support parrot. I could teach it to cuss, and I could take it everywhere, and if people are offended, I could just be like, hey, it's my emotional support animal. You can't do anything about it. Sorry that it's cussing. Have a great day. Thank you.
I like that. I think that's a fantastic idea. Let's go to John. Good morning. What's bugging you?
Hey, guys. What's bugging me is something you said, Bob. This phrase, when you're 20, if you're not a liberal, you don't have a heart. Well, when I was 20, I had a heart and a brain, I like to believe. I rescued animals, and I did pretty good in college arguing with and crushing my liberal professors. And the brainless, heartless liberal professors dropped my grades for it when I made them look like insane idiots. Yes, I am bragging. Thank you.
Oh, no, that's okay. You could be both, I guess. And it's not my statement.
Yeah, but we get the gist of it, so yeah.
Yeah.
I get it.
Yeah. Let's go to Tom. Good morning. What's bugging you?
Well, I don't know if it's Trump or his advisors, but this low approval rating that he is at right now is a disaster. And a lot of my not liberal, not rhino, Republican, conservative, formerly friends have been just going on for the past month or so about Trump and how he's not coming through. And if he loses, and if we lose the House and possibly the Senate, he's going to get impeached, and the whole country is going to be really go down the tubes. And it's annoying me. Whoever advising him should have seen this a little bit more clearly. And I'm very worried, guys. Thank you. Bye.
Yeah, some of it is on him and his advisors, I agree. 877-975-9825, call in now, last chance. But also, to be fair, the media is so much against him.
Well,
and they show like 90 or more percent negative information about, you know, President Trump and his administration. So really, it always is an uphill fight. And yeah, we wish we were already done with the whole thing in Iran. Mm-hmm. But unfortunately, you can't always predict how every single thing is going to go down, especially something like that.
You know, a great example of what you're talking about, it was during the whole World Cup thing. People here from all over the world who only knew what they knew about Trump from watching CNN across the globe. And then they got here and realized he's not who they thought he was. Our country's not who they thought we were. It was a really eye-opener for a lot of the world because of exactly what you're talking about with media.
I was listening to NPR and actually a BBC report on NPR this morning coming in. And they started it out with saying Iran is in a stronger position now than they were before because of their ability to the fact that they have shut down the Strait of Hormuz. Now, if they had said that 2 or 3 weeks ago or whatever, I would say, well, maybe there's something to it.
Yeah.
But there's absolutely nothing to it now.
No.
They're not shutting it down at all. And but yet here they have. That's their starting line of where they go from that. And and I was like, really? You people just refuse to get it.
Mm-hmm.
Good morning, Mark. What's bugging you?
Hey, Bob and Greg. What's bugging me is this Lindsay Clancy, mother of three children up in Plymouth, Massachusetts, who killed her three children, only getting a life sentence. I'm sure that's wrong. Death penalty is more appropriate. Maybe Massachusetts doesn't do the death sentence, but it's just more of the whole prison industrial complex garbage. Hundreds of millions of women have gone through postpartum without killing their children, so it's just a wimpy excuse. Thanks, guys.
Wow. Taking a hard line on that one, huh?
I don't know. You kill kids, that's... I'm
a little bit more compassionate toward maybe the people and their mental health. And again, we're fighting an uphill battle with there being a stigma and mental health issues. If we truly want to address it, we have to get past that. We can't say how important mental health is, how important it is, and then say, oh, no, she wasn't crazy. She killed her kids on purpose. I mean, you're free to have that opinion. I just would like to, maybe I don't know enough about it yet, but I'm not saying like let her out tomorrow and, you know, give her an aspirin. 728 on the Bob Rose Show. Coming up, shocking gun stats from the CDC next. And just like that, we're back. Good morning. Welcome. It's the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. And your time check brought to you by Hayes Jewelers, where the answer is always yes. We've got some interesting statistics. And really where they're coming from is what makes it so interesting, the CDC. I'll get to that in just a minute, but some of your top stories. U.S., more pressure on Iran. Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent announced new economic sanctions. This is Operation Economic Outcast. U.S. and Canada. Oh, Canada. As we add a zero to the tariffs. Yeah, 50% on Canadian cars, trucks, auto parts, and hockey sticks. Oh, no! How are we going to survive? My understanding is the deal that was offered to them was very, very fair, and that they walked away from it. Said, we changed the deal, whatever. Mark Carney, he's not a fan of the U.S. He's certainly not a fan of Trump's, and I think maybe he just did this to not one of those not get along things. The other thing too is you wonder is there a large Chinese Communist Party influence going on there, because we need to start to look for that here in this country. We know there is here, but how high up does it go? How much of these I wonder how many of these Democrat socialists actually have some, of course they're not going to be direct ties to the Chinese Communist government, but indirect. So you've got that going on. Reno wildfires continue and evacuations continue, and now it's burned about 15,000 acres so far, and still having big issues with that one. But listen to this. The CDC put defensive gun use figures back on their website, and the data shows upwards of 2.5 million such uses a year. The CDC admits that 2.5 million times a firearm is used in some defensive measure. Doesn't mean it was always fired. Doesn't mean it was always fired at the bad guy, whatever. But just the involvement, it has been used defensively 2.5 million times.
Million.
Yep.
But I thought we were told, it really doesn't happen that often.
There's another place that does research, and they started with the range of 60,000 up to 2.5 million. It actually could be higher than 2.5 million because there's sometimes when somebody might use their firearm defensively, not even firing it, but utilizing it, the bad person sees it, runs away, and that may not even necessarily go reported. Yep. The information from the CDC is not new. Rather, it's newly reposted. It was deleted in 2022. Breitbart pointed to a Fox News claim that the deletion occurred after the CDC was pressured by gun control activists. Isn't that censorship? These are government figures. Government figures, but they pressured them to take that number off because the last thing we need is people to be able to defend their Second Amendment rights and say, hey, look, guns have been used, you know, safely to thwart crime 2.5 million times in 1 year. But in 2026, the data is back on the CDC website on the About Firearm Injury and Death page. Under the subtitle Defensive Gun Use, the page says estimates of defensive gun use vary depending on the questions asked, population studied, time frame, and other factors related to study design. The report priorities for research to reduce the threat of firearm-related violence indicates a range of 60,000 to 2.5 million defensive gun cases each year. The gun control outlet, The Trace, is not happy about the return of the defensive gun use numbers, claiming the inclusion of the defensive gun use figures reflects the Trump administration's staunch Second Amendment advocacy, putting the president in lockstep with a gun lobby that's long promoted the idea that a good guy with a gun is the only thing that can stop a bad guy with a gun. Oh, you want to take issue with that concept? Bring your sticks and stones and tell me how it goes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
The Trace then quotes the Gun Violence Archive to try to bolster its claims, just as outlets have claimed 600-plus mass shootings in a year have leaned on the GVA data as well. But we all know how, you know, the mass shooting thing is defined, and it's not what most people would consider a mass shooting.
No.
But nonetheless, the CDC reporting as close as they can get to factual information that is reported. And yes, firearms have saved a lot of people's lives. They've been used defensively many times. And again, without necessarily having to shoot the bad guy.
Right. Well, maybe under this administration, there's a little more pressure to actually, you know, do the right thing. Be honest. I don't know. Crazy talk.
Well, I just think it's interesting that defending a right.
This is
founding fathers considered it a God-given right. Mm-hmm. The role of government wasn't to say whether we should have that right or how much of that right we should have. In fact, they even put in there unfettered. All the government's role was supposed to be is ensuring that we continue to have those rights. That's the whole idea.
Could somebody tell the Democrats that?
No, they don't. They refuse to even entertain the idea and concept. First of all, you're involving God, God-given rights.
Well, there's that.
But if you look at the Declaration of Independence, they talk about a creator. Mm-hmm. You know, look, we have these unalienable rights, and we want to make sure that they're not messed with by government, as our founding fathers had seen all over Europe, how governments messed with the rights of people.
Right.
That we wanted to avoid that. And so somebody like Trump is a bad guy for making sure that our God-given rights are protected.
Mm-hmm.
I get it, huh? But you got a twist. You had to twist and turn a whole lot to try to come up with that one. But that's where they're at. That's where the lefties are at. Remember, the concept and the idea is to protect us against a tyrannical government. A tyrannical government. You can't do that. Well, here's your good example. Would you say it's a tyrannical government, an oppressive government in Iran?
Ooh.
If you've got, if you've got 80% of the population, you know, nearly 80 million people, and it's even higher by most estimates, but let's just say it is, 80 million people don't agree with the government, but there's nothing they can do about it.
Well, I think if you toss in the fact they've killed, what, 40, 50, 60,000 of their own people, you might consider that authoritarian.
And how are they able to get away with that? Because the people themselves are defenseless. They don't have a Second Amendment. You know, any country that doesn't really protect those kinds of rights from their citizens, the citizens basically are held captive at whatever actions the government chooses to do. I mean, no matter how heinous, no matter how oppressive, what do you, they actually will say, so what are you going to do about it? What are you going to do about it? Complain? Yeah? Don't complain too loudly, because if we hear you, we'll end that voice. I mean, that's how these kinds of governments, that's how they get control and keep control. And so anybody that's about disarming the American populace, they're not for America. It is that simple.
Well, look at all these Democrat socialists. I mean, you know, they're not going to be supporting. I mean,
of course not.
They're not a fan of the Constitution anyway. But you think they're going to be standing up for Second Amendment rights? If anything,
no, because because they know that the people aren't accepting of just what they know about their policies and ideas right now. The vast majority.
Yep.
They already know that.
Right.
And wait until they gain, if they gain, some level of power, and then they show their true selves, then there'll be a lot of people that go, wait, hold on, this is not what I signed on to. Yeah, I signed on for the freebies and all that, but I didn't sign on for all this heavy, you know, strong-arm government that I'm forced to deal with now. Mm-hmm. I didn't sign on for that.
Well, I mean, you start strong-arm, they've gone down the road of everything that backs our laws, that whether you're talking about ICE or local law enforcement or whatever. I mean, they don't like any of that, quite frankly.
Well, the guy that's been in, he's been in the news a lot lately. He was on with Jesse Waters. I'll get into that in the next segment. But that Abdul Al-Sayed.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. One of the things he said on that interview, he responded to questions on whether he wants to replace the Second Amendment by saying that people are more worried about health care before saying he's perfectly okay with people having their hunting rifles.
But notice the deflection. Oh, that's not important. They're worried about health care. Yeah, tell that to how many million people defended themselves last year.
Jesse Waters said, you want to replace the right to bear arms with the right to health care? You don't want to replace the Second Amendment, do you?
Oh.
And he said, look, man, I think more people are more worried about whether or not they can see a doctor than whether or not they can have a gun. I'm just going to put it out there.
Right.
So, yeah, Waters called him on it. You know, good. You're dodging the question about the Second Amendment. And clearly he was. We're not talking about what your personal priorities are or what you believe priorities are, the American people. We're talking about the Constitution of the United States. And there's a disconnect there.
Mm-hmm.
And it's purposeful. But he's got to hide that as much as he can. Him and other candidates just like him.
Yep.
Beware. 7:45 on the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. We've got a lot more to talk about, including that more on that Abdul Al-Sayed coming up on News Talk 97.3 The Sky. Well, good morning and welcome. It's the Bob Rose Show. Craig Cassidy is here. Oh, it's going to be an awesome day. Come on. Let's pump it up. It was on this day, 1944. Paris was liberated after 4 years of Nazi occupation. That was a good thing, right?
Yeah.
Yep. Beginning of the end of World War II. Also on this day, then-Senator Ted Kennedy, the liberal line of the Senate, dies at the age of 77.
Wow.
But also, on this day, right around the time we were just being born.
Yeah.
Little Eva earns a number one hit with Locomotion. Why don't you sing us a few bars,
Greg? I don't think so. But I can hear it in my head right now.
Yeah.
I'm just not going to share.
And then it was redone. Grand Funk Railroad did a version of it.
Mm.
Yep. And that was a big hit back in the day.
What's her name? There's another singer that actually did it, too. Who was that? Yeah, Kylie Minogue. Yeah.
Kylie Minogue versus Grand Funk Railroad. That shows the difference between you and me right there, buddy. You know, Grand Funk Railroad, we're an American band!
Yeah, I love those guys. No, they're great. I just knew there was a new version that sounded more like the original kind of thing. That pop feel.
Kylie Minogue, huh?
Yeah. Okay.
So got your little Kylie Minogue poster on your wall, do you?
No, it's probably in storage somewhere.
Yep.
Yeah.
Hey, this Abdul El-Sayed, he went on Jesse Waters' show on Fox News last night. And, I mean, we could go through the whole list or whatever, but basically, I mean, he is being exposed. And look, and he is smart. He can do some tap dancing. He tries to get around the issues. We already explained a few minutes ago how, you know, he's not a Second Amendment guy. But at the very end, when Jesse Waters finally had him cornered, he did say something like, well, I mean, you know, people, you know, should have their hunting rifles. I have family members that go hunting.
Thanks, Biden. Did he mention Kevlar vests or anything?
He didn't go that far because he was getting tired, tuckered out from dancing.
Tuckered out?
Yeah. It used to be a good reference to use.
I know
what the deal is.
Man, the good old days. Yeah, I know.
Then they talked about sex change. El-Sayed said, look, I remember having great conversations with my conservative friends about right to try legislation. Hang on. The idea that the government shouldn't tell you what kind of health care you should have. I just think that the government shouldn't tell you what kind of health care you should have. And if you're a minor, that should be between you and your doctor and your parents. And he says, you want to try, like the right to try, on kids? He said, now, if you disagree with that health care decision need to be made by a doctor and their parents and a patient, then I just think we agree to disagree. But you don't want to put a government inside a clinic or a hospital selectively. What?
Says the socialist.
Says the guy that wants Medicare for all. He wants government health care for everyone. Wow. But then in the same other side of his face, he says, You don't want to put government inside of a clinic or a hospital. Well, what do you think that you're doing?
My goodness.
When you make all of your medical stuff government controlled? What in the world do you think is going to happen?
Amazing.
And by the way, this whole right to try thing, you know what that was really all about? That had to do with like end-of-life care, when people wanted, if they chose to do like an experimental drug,
right,
that they wouldn't be stopped from doing it.
Okay.
That's what that was all about. And lives were saved, and it was Trump that brought that about. Lives were saved as a result of that, saying, hey, you have the right to try something.
Uh-huh.
It doesn't have anything to do with what El-Sayed and this gender manipulation and all that stuff.
Wow.
Didn't have anything to do with that. So, I don't know. Every time that, you know, Jesse, you know, put him in a corner, I don't think he did a great job of trying to get out of it. You know, reparations, do you support that? Waters asked of him. And he said, I think we need to have an honest conversation about the incredible debt that was put upon black folks as a function of slavery that we have yet to pay, and I just think that's fair. Like, if people are enslaved and forced into servitude, and then we don't actually have a conversation about all that was owed, that our country agreed was owed, I just think it's past time to have that conversation. That's, you know who's that answer was? I believe that was Kamala Harris who at one time said that. It's time to at least have a conversation.
Oh, yeah.
You can have all the conversations you want, but to go back generationally and then try to apply those sins to the current population or the reparations to the current population. There's no real and feasible way in which you could do that makes sense.
None whatsoever.
If I'm punished 10 cents, that would be absolutely wrong in every way.
Mm-hmm.
Had absolutely nothing to do with it. My ancestors came after the Civil War and never owned anybody. They barely could feed themselves. So, yeah, it's not right, and they know it. They use it as it's a wedge issue. Keep them divided, keep them separated. And this guy is trying to get the black vote, but they are not buying into this Abdul al-Sayed. More to come, 97.3 The Sky. You hang on, please.